Welcome to the Mucked Up My Self-Care podcast.
I'm Jill from New York.
And I'm Linda from Tasmania.
We are two moms from opposite sides of the world who are living, demonstrating, and helping moms across the world build their self-care asset bank.
Ready to dive in? Messy, interrupted, imperfect, and most of all, mucked up. Let's get going.
Good morning.
It's Monday, Sunday. Mucking up all the days of the week.
Monday.
Yeah. Oh. And if Jill becomes a robot, her internet is slightly disorganized this morning.
Particularly.
So while you're going is good. Do you want to start us off with some highs and lows?
I'd be happy to. Let's see. Highs and lows for today. I think my high is that I got like a lot of good work done this weekend because of a lot of planning childcare and surprise childcare. So I had like Declan away from Thursday night because he had no school on Friday. So I had my parents watch him and I was banking on at least two nights of sleep over there, like a two night sleepover, and it happened. And I'm so happy it happened because Saturday I spent the whole day getting so much work done, which was so nice to just be left alone and not have a distraction or a worry that I have to go get him something. So it was just so good. And then we had a movie night. So it was a lot of socializing in my week of social high, I guess we can call it, for my phases. So it was a very productive as well as enjoyable weekend.
Nice.
Yeah, good stuff. My low, I don't know. That's a little hard right now. I feel like it was such a good weekend that I don't know what my low is.
This is a good thing.
Yeah, I think, well, yesterday I lost my glasses and I never lose my glasses. So it's going to be something just so trivial because it's really nothing crazy. But I lost my glasses and I have no idea where they are. And I'm trying to go back in my steps to figure out where I put them. And I can't remember half of the day yesterday. So I'm like, they might have fallen out the car. They might be left at a store that I was at. I have no idea. But I'm like, is anything else missing? What else did I misplace? And how is that the only thing that I've misplaced? Like, I just don't understand it. So I think that actually might be why I was awake in the middle of the night, because I'm still trying to like put this puzzle together of where the heck my glasses could be and freaking out that something else is missing along with it, and I don't know what it is yet. So,
is it one of those moments where you're like, "Oh, I feel a bit old"?
No, I wish that were the case.
You're not completely blind without them, though.
Luckily, not, and I have another pair. No. They're not as strong, but.
Okay.
I just can't drive at night for a few days, which is just fine. I'll have to make Bobby drive for date night this week.
All right. Yep. I'm lucky enough not to have glasses at all. And nearly everybody else in my family has them at the same time. So I don't know how I'll escape that one. I'm happy to just keep going with it for now. Yep. It might not be forever.
What about you, Linda? Your highs and lows.
I'm going to start with off your low. I have a teething bubba, a one-year-old who has eye teeth coming through. She's very dribbly. She's very cranky. Sometimes she often doesn't want to be put down. She'll wake up in the middle of the night and not want anything like a normal comfort type things. And so it was a long night last night and day today of having her want lots of cuddles and that sort of thing. At the same time, I think My high would be I had the kids fairly early to bed tonight, which is lovely to get some book formatting done and just the days are getting darker earlier, things like that. So it was really nice after a couple of really late nights last week with the heat. It was lovely, actually. Really nice. Yeah. So fingers crossed we shouldn't have any kids in the background of this recording. Yeah. Yep. So what are we talking about today?
Oh, we have a fun topic of misunderstood self-care, I think, on our list.
Yep, we do.
Oh,
Yep.
let's see. What is,
We're trying to get our whole energy going.
yeah.
misunderstood self-care.
When you
So,
think of that, Linda, what comes up for you right off the bat? Like when we were figuring all this out, I'm like, misunderstood self-care. And I'm going to say in our notes, we kind of took it in very different directions.
we did. Yeah.
So I think we're going to cover a lot of stuff in another episode where we might have to revisit this.
Yep.
But
Which is why we both took that pause for a second and went, so
yeah.
where are we going to go? Like, well, let's go back to our original conversation around this self-care podcast and how we started and why we're here. I'll bring up that sort of initial brief that we did originally, but I know that we were both in a space where we felt really frustrated at a lot of the self-care, self-talk, self-help stuff out there. And the fact that very often the self-care that is preached, if you like, that might be a bit of a harsh word, but the self-care that is out there is often maybe in a way from a coach who doesn't have children, who doesn't necessarily have the commitments and the responsibilities. So can wake up in the morning and go for a run and meditate and sit on a cushion and do fancy yoga in all sorts of moves because they don't have a bladder that lets go every time they jump or something, like that's, I think, what I start to think of when we're thinking of misunderstood self-care. And also the fact that it isn't necessarily selfish to have self-care, because I think that's another thing that's quite misunderstood out there. What about
Yeah,
you?
I agree with you on that. That is definitely a misunderstood aspect of it. And I think that's even misunderstood by us personally when we're express when it's expressed to us that we should be doing self-care for ourselves, and we can automatically think, well, that's really selfish of me to go spend all this time by myself to take care of me when I have other people to take care of. I think starting out, yeah, when we asked that question, did we even know what self-care was when we first started this journey? And I know I was misunderstood of what self-care was. And even the benefit of it for me has been misunderstood up until recently, where as we've gone on through these conversations, we're figuring out just a little bit more of what does self-care actually do for me personally. And it gives us the opportunity to share it differently than with other people. So that way we might help them combat that misunderstood thought for themselves, where they might be able to get past that selfishness feeling sometimes, then.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the more that we've started talking about the self-care, the more we've understood how much we perhaps didn't know or didn't understand. And so I don't think it's just a one and done. I really do think that that is also a misunderstood thing, that you can go and have a massage and then, oh, the self-care bank is full. Yeah. Yes. No, thank you.
It's definitely a practice that needs to stay routine for us to keep coming back to that, because yeah, you can't just fill your cup once and expect it to last you however long you want it to last before you need to do it again. It's
I know we've talked about sleep fairly recently. I think self-care sometimes is very similar, that once you get some, a little bit, then you discover that you actually need more. And so something like having a massage or bowels done or pamper treaty type of stuff, sometimes it's not just, oh, I'm filled up now. Sometimes it's, oh, I realize how empty I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
And yeah. I think based on what you're saying, like when you bring up the pampering and other almost kind of, I feel like it's like frilly things that we think of, and like mm-hmm. immediately mm-hmm. starting, because that's what people show, is that almost trendy self-care or
Insta-worthy.
Yeah. So that's not always what it is. And that might not fill our cup enough where we actually do need to start implementing more self-care. So if we consider some other options that aren't so always like pretty and Instagram worthy, like we have in our top favorites, like taking a hike with our kids, going to the gym, or just walking around outside, getting your bare feet in the grass. People definitely post about all that stuff, but how frequently are you seeing that versus somebody going to go get a massage? And like it can kind of dilute our, what we think are our options to choose from for those self-care activities.
Yeah. And not many people are posting about, hey, I just got 2 minutes in the toilet on my own. Oh. And that was my self-care right now. Yeah. Yep. So I've just found what we set out to, and what is still a lot of our foundations of what we wanted to do with this podcast. And it was helping mums to fill their self-care asset bank and making sure it was understandable for others and supporting each other, even though we're on the other side of the world, and figuring out what works day to day. And I think that is a big part of what we have done in order to reverse the misunderstandings that we had and understand it more, is that very much figuring out that day to day.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we have the highs and lows. That's why we touch on things that have worked and not worked and working or working towards, and continual demonstrations, hopefully, of conversations, that matter to us. As well. And
I'm glad you shared this little diagram that we created in the beginning, because the one right in the middle is making self-care understandable in big, small ways. And I think that is super fitting with our misunderstood topic, because it's, fun.
I do want to touch on something which I find very important, is the fact that self-care is internal and external. And just doing a full loop back to what we were just talking about, a lot of what you do see on social medias or with conversations with friends is very external. It's about the massage or the nails or the, I don't know, whatever else that you want to take a photo of. But then we've also got the fact that self-care involves a lot of the self-talk, the talk that we're giving ourselves that nobody necessarily sees. The talks at 1 a.m., at 3 a.m. when we can't sleep. It's not just the things that other people see. Yeah. What's been your experiences with that lately?
Definitely. So I guess this is inspiring a little bit of thought right now. We're in this age, I feel like, of gentle parenting. And if we're going to gentle parent our children, how can we talk to them in this more gentle way and not talk to ourselves in a way that mirrors that? I think it's hard to divide yourself in that way, because are you being honest then when you're talking to yourself, not gently, like, or if you're just so used to talking to yourself in this negative way, is that really honest as well? Like, do you really mean those things? Why are you beating yourself up on that? Which then just really becomes a huge energy leak, because you just feel so depleted and devoid of that energy. Whereas if we're doing it to our children to build them up and bring confidence in them, why wouldn't we do that for ourselves too?
Yeah. Except very often it's those stories that we've also told ourselves. And I actually was reading an essay about this sort of the other day, that so many of our stories that we're telling ourselves and memories that we store inside ourselves then will guide our decision-making process, and our, like, the psychology behind it's quite amazing, actually, even when it comes to nostalgia. So essentially, I think in some ways, each time we do better or even pull ourselves up in the way that we're talking to ourselves or our children, that is like a really big gold star moment as well.
I think there's another half to this, that if we're going into a self-care activity and we aren't in our minds about, like, preparing ourselves that this is going to be something that really brings us energy and filling our cup, but instead we're just taking it about as another activity, not mindfully, and sometimes it doesn't do what we've intended it to do. And I think that could be relative to our self-talk, that if we're not gentle with ourselves or just nice to ourselves, how are we going to really get anything good out of a self-care activity, regardless of what it is? Because I can go get my nails done and it's not a self-care activity because I'm not in that mind frame where I want it to be some self-care. It's just another chore. Or yeah, I can be
exactly
going outside and picking up the dog poop because that's where I do my grounding, and not being in that moment, it just becomes a waste of my time because it was too much of a chore because I didn't frame it for myself in a way where, like, okay, let's take this 10 minutes. I know it's a chore, but we're also doing some outside time where this is going to be good for me, grounding and doing that. And I can set myself up a little bit better because I'm talking to myself in that way.
Yeah. And that comes back to a lot of that being present too, right? A lot of that being present because, yeah, I actually just saw something today. I'm going to see if I can try and find it. Well, it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to find it easily just when I want it. it was basically talking about that sort of being present and how much you need to try to look at that as part of your growth. Because if we do all this work, if we do all this self-care, I can't actually be there and enjoy that for a second.
No.
It becomes like a bit like a, yeah. Does it become really misunderstood then as well? Yeah.
That's a good point. And being present then in that moment, really understanding what we're doing, like another point of that is sometimes our self-care isn't just by ourselves. So if we're involving mm-hmm. someone else, if it's a social interaction, like how are we not present then? Because there's more people involved now at this point. But even needing to be present and setting ourselves up for those social interactions to be a self-care activity, because sometimes it could be more overwhelming when we are maybe touched out. Maybe we are trying to include our children in a little bit of self-care and it might not go that way, because when we aren't present in that moment, because we've been billions of other places as parents for that day, or you know, our minds are still at work and we haven't shifted back into the present of what is going on with what we are trying to take care of for ourselves with that self-care.
And not only I think in that moment, but having some, for me, it's been a real game changer and really big point of difference to have the foresight and the understanding that actually after those events, I'm going to need some time to make sure I'm keeping myself in check and be kinder to myself and make preparations so that the next day we're not doing 100 million other things, and realizing that the kids can't just walk in the door after being really overstimulated from a social event and go to bed. That's what we had on Saturday. Actually, we went to an event at our local church, which was like a Pacific Islander, so it had lots of singing and dancing and all different cultures, and it was great. But the kids came back and they were definitely overstimulated. So instead of trying to rush them to bed and getting all angry and upset, and yeah, they were able to come home and actually taking the time to give them space to read or do Lego probably got them to sleep faster than an hour of agitation.
Yeah. Letting them wind down on their own terms instead of it being forced upon them, for sure. We tried to do that last night after being at Grandma and Grandpa's house for a big old party with tons of people. You know, he got a brand new tent from a family member and we put it together and he just got to play in it. And he had a snack in there and just did a little wind down. And then we're like, okay, let's bring it into the bedroom and go over there. I don't know if it helped us get him to bed any easier or not, but we did try.
You tried at least. But yeah. But I think that's a big part of what we're talking about is that misunderstood part of what self-care should look like. And we've talked about expectations before. And the two definitely tie in very closely as well. Yeah. Because when we try to set ourselves up for these high ideas of what society might be saying or what other friends might be saying, it's really hard to live up to those standards sometimes and be present too.
Yeah, for sure. I wanted to circle back to what we were talking about with it seeming selfish in a way, and how it's really not about putting it's not about putting our own needs ahead of others, but it can be misunderstood that way to others. Yep. So Are you finding that you sometimes have to explain your self-care, whether it be to yourself or to someone else? Because we can have, like, we can sometimes not go do something because we're like, oh, this is silly. Like, this is putting myself before someone else. I'm not going to go do this. Or this is not enough self-care until you realize that it is good self-care. But are you finding that you have to explain yourself sometimes?
Not as much as I used to. I used to become almost apologetic sometimes. And I'm definitely doing a lot less of that than I used to. And I think I also realized that a lot of the explaining or defending that I was doing when I was jumping in to defend was actually taking time away from well, the self-care anyway. So then by the time I got to it, I sort of had to come down from that. And it just felt like it was a pointless loop that I was stuck in. So I think that definitely shifted a lot. However, I still probably do a little bit, depending on what sort of example we're thinking of. If it's something outside the house, it's probably more likely that I'll feel that explanation need to explain, and if it's something for longer, then I don't know, it doesn't really have a time frame, but a longer chunk of time, probably still have a bit of that guilt come in. What about you? You're the explainer.
I think I'm explainer to myself and having to defend what I want to do to myself, because my husband is the most understanding person when it comes to taking care of me, that he just will just go do what you need to do. Like, don't ask, just tell me you need to go do something and go do it. So I know I myself beat myself up for that same part, that I'm here to take care of everyone else. And yeah. So it's a lot of self-explaining and defending in my shoes of what needs to happen. And I've gotten much better with that in understanding different ways to do self-care activities that don't allow me the chance to have to defend myself to myself. So things that don't cost a lot of money, because I know that's a pain point for me, that I don't want to spend money to have good self-care. We're doing things with Declan because I don't want to have to go find someone to care for Declan while I'm doing something. So setting myself up to avoid those things ends up making me practice not having to do it later on when I do something that might trigger that.
Yeah, flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting though that sometimes we do think that it needs to be a cost, whether that's a time cost in finding someone else to look after them, the kids, or a cost in a massage or nails or going to the movies or something like that, when actually self-care could be deciding not to scroll on social media for an hour before you go to bed.
Yeah.
That's a really good example.
Oh, yeah.
I think for lots of us that need to be reminded that that's actually a very valuable self-care activity in many ways, because high chance you won't even remember what you were scrolling or the post that you looked at the night before. Very high chance. So I like that reminder as well. So I have a final question before we wrap up. How do you think we can understand self-care better?
Oh, I think it's by conversations about self-care.
And here we are.
Yeah. Definitely one of those. And then I think just practicing different activities that do bring us that joy. And being aware of the outcome from different activities.
Yeah. Yep.
Very what about nice. You?
Yeah, a lot of what you said. copy paste. No. It is a lot of that awareness. It is presence that we've touched on as well. It is knowing what you do and don't like,
mm-hmm.
and regularly assessing that, I think. Yeah. Sometimes day to day. Definitely. And yeah, big part of having those conversations so we can make big, small ways of change.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Love it.
Good.
Thank you. Well,
thank you. So I guess until next week.
Yep. We hope you can unstuck your muck.
Bye. Bye.